Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Father, we thank you this morning that you have raised a hallelujah in our midst. And that the enemy is on the run. We thank you that you are the God of the angel armies and you are welcome. You are welcome. Teach us and grow us, we ask in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, or if you have a Bible app, you can use your phone or iPad. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. The truest thing about me is what God says about me. And he says, he sends me soaring above the chaos. He conquers my enemies for me. He sets my feet upon the rock of his unchanging truth. The devil is defeated. The devil is a liar. And the devil is underneath my feet. Amen. Yeah, amen. We're going to continue the I Am series this morning, or you may know it as the names of God, but let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid. Amen, somebody. Do not be afraid. Why? For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you're on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies, but don't let your heart faint. Don't be afraid. Don't tremble or be terrified. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save or to deliver you." So do you see there how the Lord fights for you? That's what we're going to get into here in a moment. If you are new to Grace Church, or maybe this is the first part of the series you're getting in on, the names of God that we're looking at in this series reveal these things. This is why the Lord wants us talking about this. Number one, it reveals his desire for us to know him. We started with the word Elohim. In the beginning, God, Elohim, made the heavens and the earth. So Elohim means mighty or strong creator. This God who is amazing, omnipotent, all-powerful, all those things. He holds the universe. Can I get a witness? The universe is pretty big. He holds the universe in the expanse of his hand, according to Scripture. So he's enormous. He's beyond what we could comprehend, but here's what you need to know. Throughout Scripture, he starts revealing how much he wants you to know him. Elohim can stand outside the heavens and the earth and make them. That's how big he is. Heavens are pretty big. The earth's pretty big. He's bigger than both. He stands outside of them. He makes them. But throughout Scripture, he's going to unveil names. What he's doing is introducing himself to you, not only as your creator, but your source and supply. As you'll see here, it reveals his desire for us to know him, different aspects of who he is. How about Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of each and every name we look at, a description of his character and nature, and then it also reveals our connection to him as our Father and our reliance upon him as source for all things. So here's what we've looked at so far. You can see the names are important. Elohim, mighty, strong creator, and then Jehovah. The next name, he introduces himself as Jehovah or Yahweh. And then we also looked at Emmanuel because it was around Christmas time. God is with us. Then Jehovah Sitkenu is the Lord your righteousness. So you either have the righteousness of Christ or you're not righteous. There is no man-made righteousness. There is no religious do-goody righteousness. Amen. The minute he showed up, Jesus Christ showed up and manifested on this planet, was the day you needed to recognize, okay, if I'm going to be right with God, it's going to be from God, not from me. So you've been gifted righteousness. Congratulations. What should we do with that? Are you ready? Here, it's deep. Live like it's true. You are righteous. You are pure. You are clean. When sin tempts or shows itself to you, makes an offer to you, you got to understand, why would I join myself to you? You're filthy. I'm clean. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm pure.
You see how that's even hard for us to grasp? And the reason is because we live by how we feel or how we behave. I would submit to you that human behavior does not reveal truth. It could reveal that person's believed a lie. Does God love everyone in Choctaw this morning? Yes, he does. God is love. He loves everyone. Is everybody in Choctaw living today and carrying out their attitude and their day at the store and at church and all that with the absolute belief that God loves them? No. So if we see negative behavior, bad behavior, if it's based upon a lie that they don't think God loves them, of course they act that way. So what I'm getting at is behavior does not necessarily reveal truth. It may reveal that a human being has believed a lie about themselves. They're living a separated life from God's love. And then today I want to get into Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth. Now that's the Greek rendering of the Hebrew Jehovah Saba. T-S-A-B-A. And that's where mostly it's found, is in the Old Testament. So we'll look at that. But Jehovah Sabaoth means Lord of hosts of heaven. Lord of hosts of heaven. I was asking Annie if she knew what I was sharing on today, and she said no, because twice in her prayer this morning, she talked about the God of the angel armies. That is Jehovah Saba. That is the translation of that. It's used over 270 times in Scripture. It refers to a divine general who commands angelic armies. If you look at the Message Bible, it's translated God of the angel armies. Chris Tomlin wrote a song. You probably know it. About the God of the angel armies. But he is a God of power. He is actually a divine warrior who fights for you. Now, why does God reveal Jehovah Saba to us? Because he wants you to know him. And that just like he's your righteousness, he is your warrior as well. So the question is, why are we out here doing all the fighting, Juanita? Why are we trying to defeat the enemy when he wants to fight on our behalf? I'll show you in a minute. He just needs you to be the gateway and the portal to the circumstance. He doesn't need you to fix the circumstance. He needs you to allow him to use you to be that gateway for him to come through. The Strong's Concordance in the Old Testament, 6635, means Saba, means a host or of angels that go forth for war. Host of angels that go forth for war. And then the Strong's New Testament, because Sabaoth is in James 5:4 and it's in Romans 9:29. We actually have this name in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it's the translation of the Hebrew word that denotes hosts or armies. The title, this is from Strong's, the title Lord of Hosts designates God as the one who is supreme over all the innumerable hosts of spiritual agencies of heaven. So he is the God over the armies of heaven. His names reveal his attributes to us. Okay. He's all these things. He's Elohim. He's strong creator. He's righteousness. He's also warrior. He's your protection in the midst of battle. He's your provision in the midst of battle. Let me show you something here in, there you go. Lord of hosts of heaven, divine general, divine warrior. Look at Psalm 24, verse 7 through 10. We sang about this morning. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Quotes this verse. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who's the gates? Who's the doors? We are. He's talking to us. So as we open ourselves, we become the gate, the door, the portal, and the King of glory comes in. Amen. See, what we like to do is, you know, Lord, would you please fix this or that? Or, you know, my marriage is really struggling and I'm going to spend all morning. I'm going to pray for my marriage all morning. And people come up and say, man, I tell you, I feel bad for you. That situation is a tough situation. Yeah, but I prayed about it all morning long. No, be the gate. Be the door. Be the opening through which the King of glory can come into your marriage. Amen. Thank you, James. We can pray about something all day long. How about if we say, Lord, here am I. Use me. I can pray for peace to come on my workplace. I don't like my work environment. And man, I want to see it change. I want to see righteousness, peace, and joy in my workplace. We can pray about it all day long. Or you can walk into the workplace and say, amen, Kenda, and say, Lord, I am your doorway. I am the gateway for the King of Glory to begin to manifest here in this place. Come on, give him praise. I'm going to allow the King of Glory into my workplace. God will fight your battle for you, but he's got to have somebody standing on the battlefield who is a portal. Are you not perfectly made? You're one part earth, one part spirit. And God is spirit. So we become the gateway into this realm for him to move and to operate. My goodness. And change the culture of your work. Let's see it happen. Let's become gateways and portals. You know, Kenda was talking to me. She teaches at Hera. She was just telling me testimony after testimony of how the Lord uses her to break into that classroom and help little kids who need help. They need to see Jesus. They need to see the light of God. Aren't you grateful for teachers in our schools that are doorways? And she's not even limited by, wait, they took the Ten Commandments out. She's still being used because he's spirit. She's a portal for him to speak truth and reveal himself to little kids who have it rough at home, disastrous at home, who are lied to. But they can see truth. They can hear truth because she's there. Why not? Let's just participate. Let's just allow him to do it. Doesn't mean you got to preach it, everybody. Just be the portal for the Spirit of God to enter your home, your living room, your workplace, your school, wherever it is. Your church. We've seen some healing this morning. We really have. Verse 8, who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? Here it is, Jehovah Saba, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Who comes in? Jehovah Saba comes in to fight your battles. Isn't there a new song out about this is how I fight my battles or something? It's not new? Yeah. I'm still listening to the 80s. You know, I went to see my mom this week, and I was sharing with her what we were going to talk about, Lord willing, that I get to share. But I was telling her about Jehovah Saba, and my mom is 88 years old. She loves the Lord. But man, she just would light up. She would just light up because her heart knows him. And I was telling her how the Lord fights our battles, and her health hadn't been all that great lately. And she's so encouraged and alive with the Word of God, with truth. That's it. You know, we need to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and just how it lights her up. So according to this passage, though, you and I are the gates. We're the doors that he can enter in. His glory. How about, what's his glory? Well, it is his manifest presence, but it's also his view, his opinion, and his perspective of a situation. That's why we were saying this morning, as we were praying one for another this morning, that you need his perspective. His perspective is, hey, that person I'm upset with is not my enemy. I actually have a common enemy with that person. And the same way he tries to trick and deceive me and move me into bitterness or alienation, he'll try to do the same for them. Does that make sense? So we want his perspective, his view, his opinion. Look at Amos 4:13. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. That is Jehovah Saba. So he's big and he commands angel armies. Boy, I love that. He commands angel armies and they're going to fight for you. Do you realize with Jehovah Saba on your side, every foe is a defeated foe? Amen. Every foe is a defeated foe. We always think, man, I got to fight. I tell you, I got to do the job. Jesus didn't see that. Jesus saw that the armies of the Lord were angels. Where do you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 26:53. Jesus says, do you think that I cannot pray now to my Father and he'll provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. Because the armies of the Lord are angelic armies. And isn't it fitting that last week when, the Lord just broke in and broke out and broke through, we didn't have a message per se, but we had people, remember the 13-year-old girl saw angels all in this place. That realm is real. I mean, we have to get a hold of the fact that we're made in the image of a God who is spirit. We are far more spirit than we are hirsute. And we can't let just natural things always be dragging us down. Let me give you another example of Jehovah Saba. Anybody heard of David and Goliath? Well, that's the wrong passage. Let me pick another one. Okay, I got myself off track there, but I'm about to pick it up here. Thank you so much. Here it is. 1 Samuel 17:10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and a little afraid. Greatly afraid. Verse 16, the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So day and night for 40 days, he's taunting them, ridiculing them, poking fun at them. I just wanted you to see that. And it's interesting, the Bible says Israel was never afraid of the Philistines until the giant showed up. But once the giant showed up, there was great fear. So Goliath is a warrior giant. He's 9'9". Some say 9'6". There's varying opinions. Basically, his armor weighed more than David. I mean, he's big. He's really big. And we've got Goliath on one side, a warrior giant, and then we've got David, the little shepherd boy, who didn't even make his father's lineup, you know, for king. Goliath came from a rare species of giants where fallen angels had mixed with daughters of men called Nephilim. And so he comes to the battlefield and all of a sudden they're gripped by fear. Has anybody here ever been gripped by fear? You couldn't move. Maybe you've been gripped by fear on your job or in your marriage or regarding your health. Maybe the doctor told you something and you were gripped with fear. But whatever it is, that giant, whether it's fear, worry, anxiety, whatever it is, that giant is now calling the shots over your emotions. I don't know if you've ever been there. And the giant is the one now setting your life agenda. This thing, whatever this thing is now ordering your life agenda. Everything seems to be revolving around this giant in your life. We've all been there. He also, this giant in your life, fear, whatever it is, won't go away. So you have all this in common with the Israelites here. Frozen in fear. He's calling all the shots. He's dictating what's going on and he won't go away. But the God of the universe who wants you to know him desires that you know him as Jehovah Saba and that he will fight for you. Giants rule our hearts and our homes at times today because we lose the ability to look beyond the natural. We lose the ability to see beyond the natural realm. There's a whole other realm of the spirit going on out there, amen, that we need to be able to see. We lose sight of the fact that the battle belongs to the Lord. We lose sight of the fact that Jehovah Saba is there to fight for us. And we lose battles because we lose sight of the perspective that we're the gateway for the King of Glory to enter in to this situation. Can I get a witness that if you are Elohim, if you're looking down on planet Earth onto that battlefield as Elohim, Goliath is not very big. If you're way up in the universe somewhere, he's pretty small. Well, that's God's perspective. We need to have that perspective. I'm practicing this. I don't want to go to God and tell him how big my problems are. I want to go to my problems and tell him how big my God is. The Jehovah Saba is on my side. Go ahead. If one does, let's all do it. Amen. Do you remember Elisha with the servant? You remember how they were all surrounded by this great and terrifying army in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16? So he answered, Elisha said, don't fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the servant is like, you're crazy, man. We're surrounded. But Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Open his perspective. Let the King of Glory come in that he can see what we see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Amen. Jehovah Saba. He does have an army. He simply needs somebody to be on the battlefield that'll say, I'll be the portal. I'll be the doorway for the King of Glory to come in. Let's look at 1 Samuel 17:26. For who, this is David, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David doesn't seem very afraid, does he? David knows some things. First of all, he knows that Goliath is uncircumcised, which means he's outside of the covenant with the one true and living God. He also knows that Goliath is not picking a fight with him or with Israel. He's actually picking a fight with Jehovah Saba, the God of the angel armies, the Lord of hosts, the hosts of heaven. This is a bad idea. We can see what's happening in hindsight. We can see what's unfolding here. David knew he was in covenant with God. He knew Goliath didn't bear God's name. He knew Goliath didn't belong to the family of God. David knew Goliath may be an intimidating and loud pagan, but he's still just a pagan. So you get to tell your emotions. You may be a loud and intimidating emotion right now, but you're still just an emotion. You might be a powerful and deceptive lie, but you're still just a lie. It's all about perspective. And he goes on to say, and my God shall deliver you into my hands. That's what you got to tell that spirit of fear. That's what you got to tell those emotions. See, when you look at Elisha and his servant in the two realms, the spirit and the natural, sometimes we get gripped by fear because the doctor tells us something. If the doctor gives you a bad report on your health, we are not denying the natural realm exists. He's telling you what he sees in the natural. What we are denying is that the natural is all there is. There's a whole nother realm where our God, Jehovah Saba, resides, and he can, all he needs is a portal, a gateway, and he can come and dissolve any and all cancer, any and all diabetes, any and all depression. Amen? We don't deny what's said about the natural realm. We just deny that that's all there is. So David understood Goliath may be an intimidating pagan, but he's still just a pagan. David also knew it was Goliath's gods versus David's one true God. That's really the battle. He knew it was really the Lord's angel armies involved. David knew that when he released the stone from the slingshot, that the very angels of the Lord of hosts would carry the stone to Goliath's forehead. He knew this was not his battle, but the Lord just needed somebody to stand face to face with the giant and be the doorway for the King of Glory to come, Jehovah Saba, come and defeat the enemy. Does that make sense? Let's look at 1 Samuel 17:43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Saba, the God of the, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David's not taking this personal. This isn't about me. You're insulting the God of Israel. Jehovah Saba, I love that. You come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Saba, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And then, this day, he says, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take your head from you. Goliath's head probably weighed more than David. And this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He is not scared. He is not fearful. He knows someone. He knows someone. Isn't it interesting? I think it's 1 Timothy 2:4. God doesn't desire that any would perish, but all would come to the knowledge of the truth. We got to know the truth. Jesus called truth, he called the Spirit of truth. John 14, 15, John 16, all three chapters, he called the Spirit of truth. We need to know the truth. We need to know our God. And that's what this series is about, that you can know him. Fellowship with him. Worship him. Do you think David worshiped God? Do you think he knew him fairly well? Sure he did. He's not out there quoting a formula. Right? He didn't invent some special chant that he hopes worked that he learned at church. Come on. He knew him. Spent time with him. Worshiped him. So when Goliath, I don't care how big you are, when he comes out and defies Jehovah Saba, David knows what's coming down. Says verse 47, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with natural things, a sword or a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He's running after him.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you can see this on the battlefield? David may be running towards him, but how many angels are running right there with him? Because he was the doorway, the portal for the King of Glory to come in. And David knew, as soon as I take off running towards this giant, all of the hosts of the heavenly armies run with me. My goodness, I'm telling you, and I know, man, I just want to pull up a chair or a stool and just talk to you for just a minute. I get it. Human to human, our emotions are there. We see natural things. We experience pain. We experience suffering. Things happen, but I'm telling you, the spirit realm, the realm where the living God exists, Elohim, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord your shepherd, and Jehovah Saba. That realm he exists is a very real realm that we can tap into and become a conduit for his presence and power to be made manifest. Man, I love that. We get a hold of this. I tell you, there wouldn't be anything. Somebody said, came up to you in a store and said, you know, man, I'm really struggling. I'm going through this. Or the doctor said this. If you understand Jehovah Saba, you'll say, do not fear. We have access to someone. And we can invite the King of Glory into this situation. I love that last part. David hurried. How do you hurry up to run? But I mean, he hurried to take off running and meet the Philistine. Verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell on his face. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword. How big you think this thing is? Supernaturally, David's going to have to wield this. But Jehovah Saba, the King of Glory, is already on the scene. So there's supernatural power. He takes his Goliath sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head. Now, if you're reading that carefully, you see in verse 50, he says he killed him with the stone, and then he killed him again in 51. Just a weakness in translation. The stone mortally wounded Goliath. So he is dying and will die. But that wasn't sufficient. So David went over there, took the giant sword, and killed him with his own sword. He did get ahead with that, didn't he? That was bad. That was James. That was not me. Why are we doing this series? I'm telling you, the God of the universe, the living God, the same one that is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God is with us. He is Jehovah Saba. And this is how we fight our battles. We become the conduit through which he can enter into those difficult situations. Diagnosis, whatever, relationships, whatever it may be. But he will prevail. Because greater is he that is in you than anything that's outside of you, he that's in the world. You'll never face anything outside of you bigger or stronger than who's inside of you, Jehovah Saba. Isn't it exciting that when you received Christ, you received Jehovah Saba, that side of God that is a mighty warrior. Stand with me. Stephen, you guys can come. Woo! Isn't that powerful? So powerful. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to reiterate something I heard earlier in the service. You remember this. All of us fall, but all of us will rise again. All of us stumble, but we must get up. Number two, those with an unwillingness to lose never do. Don't ever stop getting back on the potter's wheel, church. Don't ever quit getting back on the potter's wheel. I know you get frustrated with yourself. Even Gretchen mentioned that in her time this morning. Sometimes, man, you just want to give up on yourself. Don't give up. All of us fall, but the great ones get up. And those with an unwillingness to lose, we never do. The thing about Abraham was, yes, he failed. He was promised by God, but he failed. There was Hagar. There was all that nonsense. But he kept believing. He kept getting up that the one who had promised was faithful. Number three, never let the enemy convince you that you are the way you are because of someone else or something else that happened to you. Jody Brown shared in first service this morning, she lost a child in her younger years. She lost a child, but the Lord asked her, do you want to be defined by that loss or will you let me make you into something else? And she said, absolutely. Lord, I want to be who you say that I am. Number four, never let life or circumstances define you. Only God's truth. And then number five, you be God's gate. You be the door through which the King of Glory, Jehovah Saba, can enter and defeat our foes. Father, I thank you for everyone here this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you seal this word in our hearts. I ask that you stir them to go study it even further. All the places where we can find Jehovah Saba. Lord, stir our hearts to not just come and get some relief, but Lord, to walk out of here free and live our freedom. Live our freedom every single day. Lord, abiding with you, walking with you, talking with you, engaged with you. Heart to heart, spirit to spirit, thought to thought, all day, every day. We want to see transformation. We want to see transformation. So would you give us long-term obedience, Lord? Longevity to our obedience. That even when we slip up, we get back on that wheel. We get back on that wheel. We love you, Father. I just want to say I just sense this from the Lord. If you need prayer when we dismiss, we have some wonderful people here at the front that can pray with you. If you have some things that you're struggling through, we will pray with you and for you to see your victory. So we just avail that to you. We thank you, Father. We're going to have a great day in you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Come on, give him praise this morning. He is Jehovah Saba.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.